Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about campus ministry for the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. I know what it was like for me. I went a long way from home, and I went to a Christian college, to a college that was run by my own church body, and I think my parents probably thought that was a pretty safe place out in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, and keep me out of trouble at a Christian college. It didn't do that. And I was a little surprised, having been the product of Christian and Lutheran schools from kindergarten on, that some of the teachers at that college didn't teach the things that I'd been taught before. Some of them didn't care about Lutheran theology. Some of them actually taught things contrary to the Christian faith. And I was at a Christian college. Now, what would it be like going off to a secular university, wherever it is, and the kid comes back after that freshman year, and their head is filled with all sorts of ideas? We're going to be talking about campus ministry for the remainder of this hour on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 1st. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Marcus Zill joins us here in the studio. We are giving away LCMSU stainless steel travel mugs to the listeners with the best questions or comments. Pastor Zill came loaded with them. Our call-in number on the subject of campus ministry, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Marcus Zill is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, and he's co-coordinator for LCMSU. Welcome, Marcus.
Hey, this is great, man. It's great for a couple of reasons. First of all, back home in Wyoming, we got about 10 inches of snow on the ground. And so I'm kind of digging here being in shorts in the studio. And also, I got to say to your listeners, this is one of the items on my bucket list to actually make it here into the studio. This is just fantastic to see.
There's absolutely nothing impressive about it. He's making it sound much better than it really is. It's a letdown for everyone who sees it in person. That kid comes home. He's been away since fall. And the first thing the parents realize when the son or the daughter comes home from a year at the university is that it isn't the same kid that they sent away at the fall. They got a lot of different ideas. Their attitudes changed. What usually happens to that kid at the university their freshman year that brings them home that summer and has their parents and their grandparents?
You mean that very first summer they come back?
Yeah. What has happened to the kid in the meantime?
Well, they've on the positive front, they've learned to do a lot of things for themselves they never had to do. Of course, they've learned how to do their own laundry. Maybe, maybe they haven't done laundry for a year. I don't know. some of the guys that I know probably haven't. So, they've learned to be independent. They have learned to stick up for themselves. Learned that mommy and daddy aren't always there. They've perhaps, if they're trying to keep their faith, they've had to learn to go to church on their own for the first time. They've probably been confronted with at least a professor or two who has challenged their Christian worldview in a major way. I know where I'm at. It's one of the theater classes, of all things. It seems like it's you'd want to think it was the hard sciences with all the evolutionary kind of stuff going on, but actually it's the more liberal arts kind of, you know, the English and the sociology and psychology classes and some of these. They've maybe been challenged like they have never been confronted with having to defend their faith before, used to being in an environment where it wasn't so upfront. It seems like a professor can get away with a little bit more under the guise of intellectual freedom at the university than they can even in the public schools. And so they've been facing this quite a bit. And they come home, and they come home for Christmas break. They're excited. They come home for summer. They're excited to come home, and a week or two later, they're almost ready to get back to school. And so it is, There's a lot of good things that can happen, but it's a different kid that comes home.
Well, when they come home for Christmas break, they go to church with mom and dad because that's part of celebrating Christmas. It's the nostalgia that they're starting to feel for their childhood. When they come home for the summer, maybe they go to church the first time with mom and dad the first weekend because mom and dad want to show them off.
Sure.
To everybody at church. Then the second weekend, it's a little harder to get them to go. And then by the third weekend, that kid is sleeping in every Sunday. And the parents may even ask them a question. Well, we found you a perfectly good church up there at the university. Didn't you go? How common is it for the kids who go off to college for the first time to just stop going to church altogether?
Oh, it's very common. And at first, you want to think that it's just independence thing and sowing your seed, sowing your wild oats and whatever. But in a lot of ways, it's just an unfamiliarity. You know, you've grown up, especially for those rural kids that have grown up, they've gone to the same church, they go off to college, and they're kind of hit in the face with this idea of, wow, I don't know a single person in this entire place. Nobody in their dorm room is going off to church. There's nobody to go with. There's nobody to sit next to. Everything's new. Everything's different.
I don't know anybody there.
I don't know anybody there. And never mind, you know, what they might find in terms of differences in terms of the pastor, musical style, or different things like that. And so, yeah, that familiarity, that I don't think they're necessarily ready for that, which is why it's good for parents that might be listening. You know, if you know where your young person's going to go to school, get them there, take them to a church, show up that first couple of weeks, go to church with them, kind of help show them the ropes so they feel a little bit more comfortable. And that's also why as campus pastors, you know, names are gold. I mean, we will do anything we can to get to know somebody before they show up to school. Because if you don't get them in the habit in that first month or so, they're going to do exactly what you're saying. They're going to show up at Christmas and mom's going to wonder, well, haven't you been going to church? Assuming that they were, and then finding out, well, maybe it wasn't as regular as I'd like to see.
So let's talk about what is, because we talk about campus ministry, and I think what we picture is the stuff that we were all exposed to when we were in college, kind of kids out there tossing giant beach balls around in the soccer fields and doing a tug of war and then eating pizza at the campus center, things like that. That's what we picture when we picture campus ministry. That's the popular image. What do you mean when you talk about campus ministry?
Well, I think the emphasis, I mean, every campus pastor does some of that kind of stuff. We do the corny, silly stuff that you'd come to expect. But as I'm always wanting to say, pizza's great, but it's not the gospel. And young people are very, very busy. Many of them, especially because of the economy, are working their way through school, sometimes working even half-time to full-time jobs. And they don't have time to screw around. Many of us find it's a lot easier to get them to show up for the more serious stuff because they get more bang for their buck and they just don't have time to just do absolutely nothing or kind of, you know, spontaneous types of fun that we usually associate with campus ministry. So every campus ministry has to struggle with keeping that balance. But I have found that the more that we focus on getting them together and keeping them rooted around the divine service, evening prayer, the gifts of Christ that he seeks to give to them in his word and studying that word, so much the better. And then the fun stuff just kind of happens without being planned for.
It sounds like you're talking about not just ministry as some sort of an abstract concept. It sounds like you're talking about a campus ministry that is associated with a church, with an actual place either on or near the campus. Why is that important?
Young people want church. Young people need church. Maybe for the first time in their lives, they're realizing how important the church has been in their life, and they don't notice that until it's not there anymore. And so it's very important for them to be church. They want to be church. Now, in some cases, I'm blessed to have a wonderful facility, full-time campus ministry, called by a congregation, and that's all I do. But there are other ways that you can create kind of a campus ministry, churchly presence at a university where you don't have a building. But you always want to be drawing people out to church because when push comes to shove, if I had to choose between them being remaining in the life of the church and coming to some fun thing in the middle of the week, I'll always take the former.
When you mentioned before the kid shows up for the first time, and I want to talk a little bit later about the latter years of campus ministry. But when they come for the first time, you said before that it's very important that you get to them early. Why is that? Why is it important that you, even before school starts, that you get to them early?
Well, it's crucial because everybody else on campus is going to be vying for their attention. Every group, every club, sororities, fraternities. There's so many things for them to join and be a part of. And so we want to make sure that, you know, every young person's got a limited amount of things that they can do. We want to make sure that they view their life in Christ and being together with other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that share their Lutheran identity, especially that they make that at the top of the list rather than kind of an afterthought.
We're talking with Pastor Marcus Zill. He's pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming. He's co-coordinator for LCMSU, and we're giving away some LCMSU stainless steel coffee mugs to listeners with the best questions or comments. We will get to some of our listeners' questions here on the other side of this break. Our call-in number, we are coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of May, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us email right here in the studio. We get in real time, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or we have left space at our Facebook fan page for you to leave a question or a comment for Pastor Zill on campus ministry. If you've got kids, if you are one of those students preparing to go off and thinking, you know, I think I'm prepared for the classes. I have no idea what I'm going to do with regard to my life in God's Word. Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 1st, and we're talking campus ministry. Our call-in number again, 1-877-623-6943. This break is a great time to call, 877-623-MYIE. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Animal House. Animal House. Animal House. Animal House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about campus ministry. Pastor Marcus Zill, he's here in the studio on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 1st. And one of the things that we are trying to do, we always try, you hear us talking about preparing the next generation of confessional Lutherans and things like that. We have actually been in business long enough here at Issues Etc. that we have seen a crop of young people, from some of them from college age, now pastors with the recent graduation. Some of the pastors that have graduated in recent years have actually been fans of Issues Etc. from the time that they were in college. Now, many of them began as laymen who are out there as well. We have not lost sight of the layperson. That's why we're having a conference for the lay people. Old, young, makes no difference. A conference for the lay people, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 14th and Saturday, June the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. It's going to kick off with a live broadcast of Issues Etc. And then you'll be treated to the best of Issues Etc. guests like Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Pastor Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough, and others. There are three meals included in the $100 per person registration fee, and you need to register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and Saturday the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and you can register there. Or if you are having a little trouble, just give Craig a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, and he will help you register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Let's go to the phones and see what Andy has to say. He's listening, and he's on his cell. Hi, Andy.
Hi. I have a question for Pastor Zill. You had mentioned having a congregation on or near a campus, and I was just curious if you think there's an advantage to having a regular congregation, if you will, with people of all ages versus a group or a congregation of specifically traditional-age college students.
Excellent question, Andy. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's a great that's such a good question. That guy deserves one of those LCMSU coffee tumblers. But if I can have a vote. Hey, Andy, that's a fantastic question. The bottom line is that the traditional model is still useful and it's still out there, but every congregation in and of itself has all the tools in its toolkit necessary to reach out to college students. College students aren't looking to just find other people that look like them and act like them and talk like them that are in their demographic. In fact, many times they want to find what they're missing because they miss it back home, namely a normal church. You know, sometimes I've often lamented that I don't have more non-students around just because, you know, we've kind of gone through this period the last generation or so where we just kind of segregate the church. And I guess I'm at a point where we need to start looking at college students as a part of the church, not as a subset of the church while they happen to go off to college. We have to stop expecting them to leave the church. We need to just find places to plug them in. They're looking for a regular church just like anybody else, and most congregations have all the tools. They have things that college young people are looking for, and they don't need to feel bad about not having a building or not having a traditional setup like I might have. They have everything they need.
So is it safe to say that, let's say, your average congregation, if it's within easy driving distance of a college, a university, a community college, I can't think of one except for the extremely rural ones that isn't, should think of themselves in some sense as a campus ministry?
Sure. Absolutely. Every congregation has college students that grow, have young people that grow up in their church and they go off to college. And I think it'd be wonderful for every congregation out there to think about, well, what college is near us and how could we be involved? as well as how can we care for our own college students who've left and maybe need a reminder, a care package from home to remind them that we still care about them. But yeah, every congregation is a contact point, is an outpost for those in the collegiate community. Young people travel all the time. The idea that, well, they won't go, you know, a mile and a half off campus. Now, in some cases, they might not have a vehicle. Many campus ministries, many congregations could consider what can we do to hook up with them and to go by and have members pick up college students. What a better way to get a young person connected with the family and the church as well and a reminder of home.
Jan is in Atlanta, Georgia, listening. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Pastor. My question is, how is the new campus ministry patterned to allow input from the students that they are meant to serve?
Thank you very much, Jan. Thanks for listening in Atlanta.
Well, that's another great question. Campus ministry comes in a variety of shapes and sizes. It's no one size fits all. It's very important to get the input of all the college students. Obviously, we aren't going to alter the gospel in trying to reach out to them. But in terms of if I was looking to start something from scratch in a place, first thing I would do is try to find a couple of college students that are naturally interested. And instead of just assuming that you know what they would like to do, actually get their input, because they're going to have ownership in it too. And so we can't just assume that we're going to show up and we're going to tell the young people what they want and need. Having said that, the good thing is chances are you're going to find out that they want more substantive stuff than what you probably thought. And so that's yet another reason to find out what they're looking for. And chances are what they're looking for is exactly what they know they're missing, which is the opportunity to remain rooted in Christ.
I want you to tell a story you told us off mic. You told it to us very briefly, and I was just shocked to hear this story about a young student that you knew who came to campus Lutheran, and then if I got the story straight, at some point became a Muslim.
Yeah, we were talking about what happens when your young person comes back after the first year. Well, after a first semester or so, this young person, I had 4, 5, 6 weeks off for Christmas break. Very solid Lutheran young man, came back, didn't see him anymore. Turns out that I heard through the grapevine that he had converted to Islam, and was just dumbfounded by that, about how it could happen that quickly. And, you know, with all of the talk of concern with the Boston tragedy, and I mean, not tragedy, but the terrorist attacks, and, you know, the involvement of students that are over here from foreign lands. This is an area that's just booming. There's 750,000 international students in the United States, and many of them are coming from countries and maybe able to have some influence on some of our own students, because the college is a place of sowing your wild oats and being, you know, looking for a cause and having kind of a rebel spirit, and it's kind of a fertile ground for that.
It's not as though there aren't other groups. Like, there are Muslim campus ministries,
sure,
so to speak, aren't there?
Absolutely. You know, most Muslim student associations, Muslim campus ministries, they're not as many in different parts of the country, but they're becoming increasingly prevalent on most of our major college campuses.
What does that story tell you, Marcus? That could happen to a kid, that the parents, you, the campus pastor, you're all saying, good solid Lutheran boy. Next thing you know, he's praying to Allah. What does that tell you?
What it tells me is what I've always instinctively known, that I don't take anything for granted when a young person comes to the campus. There are those that you can't write off in either direction. There are those that have never gone to church in high school, and the next thing you know, they're the ones that show up and start coming to church because they know they need it. And then you have those like this young man who you think you're just fine with. You just can't take anything for granted, because the influences are so great and the opportunities are so numerous for them to steer off the path.
Let's take some questions from our listeners here. Benjamin in Rensselaer, Indiana, says, with all the restrictions placed on student information nowadays, and the closing off of college to outside faith groups, what's your suggestion on how to be a presence on that campus for those students?
Well, that's another great question, and it's very important for anybody that's trying to do campus ministry to to have a presence on the college campus, even those places like my own that are just a block off. You still have to be on campus. There are no restrictions on being on campus. There are restrictions being placed more and more on student group associations and whatnot. But there are ways to fight through that. In many cases, one of the things that with LCMSU that we're considering is, you know, how do we best get on the campuses so that we can witness? And there may be opportunities, not that we want to not be upfront about our Lutheran confession of faith, but I'll give you one example. My campus ministry, one of the books I think every college student needs to read maybe every year while they're in college is C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. Because it not only is good for them, but it also teaches them and tutors them in how that they can talk to their friends about the faith, their friends that don't know Christ or are struggling with these same types of things. And so we're actually thinking about in Laramie starting a Mere Christianity student organization, not at the expense of our regular Lutheran one, but as an opportunity to maybe draw other people in. And so there are ways to do these things, and usually it's the gay issue that comes in or sexual discrimination and different things of that sort. But frankly, as far as being on campus, I don't care who shows up. We're willing to listen and talk to anybody.
Real briefly, before we take this break, I understand, well, you had a conference, this last February, if I'm not mistaken, or January, February. And the emphasis there was apologetics. Now, is that an important aspect of campus ministry?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, apologetics is absolutely crucial, and the next piece is really evangelism, how to talk. I don't think we've done a really good job of preparing our young people through catechesis and confirmation classes and beyond in high school of how to actually talk about their faith to others. They need to be able to have some basic apologetics tools in their toolkit, but they also need to be able to know how to witness to their faith, and they think that most college students instinctively know that this is a deficiency of theirs.
Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest, pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, co-coordinator for LCMSU. We're talking about campus ministry. We'll be right back another 10 minutes after this.
I'm going to be making the case that post-modernity, rather than dying and going away, has actually become the default setting for the way people think in many of the churches today.
Chris Roseborough, on his presentation, Postmodernism in the Church, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
As a result of it, it constitutes a significant threat against biblical, historic, Orthodox Christianity, because its epistemology is extremely irrational, subjective-based, and in fact, it's even a form of enthusiasm, God-withinism, that at the end of the day has as its project the eroding away and deconstructing of what historic Christianity teaches and confesses.
You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Don't know much about history, Don't know much biology.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about campus ministry. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. We invite your questions or comments. 10 more minutes for them, and we're giving away, I got one sitting on my desk. We might have to actually give this one away, too. An LCMSU stainless steel, very nice, much better than the Issues Etc. travel mug. This one is very nice and shiny. And we're giving those away to the listeners with best questions or comments on campus ministry. 877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Eric in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania has this question. He says, with the postmodern attitude toward religion, how can we condition the youth to be interested in Lutheranism beyond confirmation into the college years, also in this day of extremely high cost for higher education? How can the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod assist Lutheran universities to provide affordable education? Two big questions there. What are your thoughts, Marcus?
Well, my first thought is that's a couple hours right there. Yeah. But, you know, what can we do? Let me tackle the first part of that. What can we do? I mean, one of the things that young people like to do is they like to serve. And I've always been a firm believer that we need to do a better job in the church of getting young people engaged in the life of the church. Once they are confirmed, finding things for them to do at church so that they can feel like, hey, this is my church, I can contribute. And the more that we can kind of keep them involved as, hey, I'm not just someone that they put $2,000 at in the budget so I can have pizza and go on a ski trip, that I can, you mean I could actually help out with altar care, I could actually usher, I could actually serve on...
Be a member
like anybody else. And young people love to serve. And so I think it's really important to not just view them as a demographic age group, but as an actual living, breathing part of the church community. And don't assume that they don't want to be involved. I think that's really crucial. I think we've failed in a lot of areas with that.
How do you work that out? Because you have these kids, let's say ideal case, the kid has been a faithful member of a congregation at home with mom and dad, and they come here and they're going to church every Sunday at St. Andrews. And with the exception of their vacations, they're kind of yours. How do you work that out between being a member there and, in some sense, a member of your congregation as well?
Well, you know, I have to view, there's a fine line there. They're a part of my campus ministry. I'm their pastor, Lotzi, but yet they have a pastor and a home church back home. And so I try to stay in good communication with the pastor back home to remind them of what we're doing on. I stay in close communication with the parents. I mean, it's really a partnership in the gospel in this regard. And the same is true when they leave our campus ministries. I mean, I'm convinced that half the time we've never really, when we lose young people after college, we lose them when they get to college, and then the ones that stay, that they don't know there's a whole nother entryway point that they could leave the faith when they move off and get a job somewhere, and they don't have a campus ministry or a home church there either. It's almost a double whammy, so... You have to just remain connected with them so that you have to just kind of shepherd them through the process.
We got an illustration of that recently in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when the facility of University Lutheran Chapel, the University of Minnesota, was sold. And so many people who had gone to college there regarded that, in a very strong sense, regarded that campus church as one of their home congregations. I mean, they thought about... It wasn't just the place I went to church when I was in college. I came from there. That was my church. Is that what you're aiming at there?
Well, I mean, ultimately. And, you know, this is why, even though there's a lot of different models for campus ministry, and every congregation has, as I said, has everything at their disposal that any other campus ministry has, there is nothing that can really replace that churchly presence nestled up against the academic community. And that was a very harsh and visible hurt that people felt. I felt it when I became a campus pastor and got the call to Laramie, Wyoming almost 15 years ago. The first thing I did was I actually spent my first week at University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis with John Pless, just wanting to learn and see what a campus ministry should look and feel like. And, you know, it's kind of like any, you know, people experience their high school from back home in the small town that gets torn down. I mean, these are icons of importance to people in their lives. And so a chapel, a campus ministry, stands a church. These physical things are important, and they mean more than just simply what's being taught there. But it's a reminder of God's grace. It's an icon of God's grace in many ways.
Matt listens in Durham, England. He says, Lutheran students come to universities from congregations of varying and divergent worship practices. What things can confessional Lutheran campus ministry do and say to get them to give our liturgical heritage a chance when their background may have been leaning toward the bigger evangelical campus ministries?
Wow. It's another great question. I think the best thing that we can do, I mean, every campus pastor faces this, you know, on any given Sunday, I look out at my congregation and they come from a whole wide variety. There's no kind of a sweet spot that my congregation is used to this or used to another thing. And so I think it's important for college students that, you know, they just want to see something authentic, and they want to see something that's rooted. They want to see something that's real. The last thing you could ever do with young people today is just kind of pander to them and assume that you know what they want. They want to know if it's real. And so I think, you know, being authentic about what we're doing, focusing on, as President Harrison in the Missouri Synod has been saying, that we need to do a better job at our preaching. And also I would finally add that that simply being open and honest with them, and realizing that just because a young person comes to say my church and we're liturgical doesn't mean that they have something against it just because they came from a contemporary congregation. In many cases, they just don't know what they don't know, and they haven't been exposed to it. And finally, I would just add that, you know, have patience with young people. Teach them. Teach them why we do what we do. Teach them the basics about the divine service so that they can understand and appreciate it.
Gideon in Ann Arbor, Michigan says, what would be the advantage or disadvantage of a campus pastor versus a campus director of Christian education on a Lutheran campus? About a minute to respond there.
I mean, obviously, it's always a wonderful thing for young people to have a pastor. There's certain things that maybe a DCE can't do. Having said that, there's a lot of campus a lot of people doing campus ministry out there from a perspective, even laymen, that just simply take up the charge that they want to fulfill this as they view it as a burning passion of theirs and vocationally to reach out to college students. And so there's advantages in both directions and there's disadvantages, but the bottom line is what young people need is they need someone that is going to care after them and look after them and seek to connect with them and treat them like adults that are members of the church. Those of us in the campus ministry world, thank God that anybody's taken an interest in college students because it's a good place to start.
John in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, how much of a focus should there be on specific doctrine of Christianity, such as trying to convert evangelical students to Lutheranism, for example, as opposed to the more fundamental conversion from non-Christian to Christian? Are both aspects occurring on campuses, or is one more predominant?
I would think that the bigger challenge is to try to reach out to those that are unbelievers. You know, it's very easy to get into fights with the other Baptist groups on campus or Campus Crusade or InterVarsity. And, you know, obviously you'd love to have time to argue and talk theology with anybody. And so you take what you can get. But it seems to me that the real challenge for us is really to deal with rank unbelief and rather than worrying too much about heterodoxy.
Before we let you go here, Marcus, we've got about a minute. What can you tell us about LCMSU?
Well, thanks for asking. LCMSU is the new initiative for campus ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're very thankful for the support of President Harrison and Reverend Bart Day in the Office of National Mission. Kind of had a decade where various groups were holding campus ministry together with duct tape. And it's just a tremendous blessing to see this renewed emphasis on the college campus, not only in terms of our college students, but also making sure that we as confessional Lutherans maintain a presence in the academic square. And so there's a lot of great things coming up. The Unwrapped conference that you mentioned earlier was the largest Lutheran gathering for students in the Synod in almost two generations. And that's without having had as much support as we would have liked previously. So a lot of wonderful things coming down the pike and looking forward to expanding it in the future.
Folks, you can find out more about LCMSU at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Mark Azil is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, and co-coordinator for LCMSU. Marcus, thank you very much for coming in.
Great to be here.
Andy in St. Louis and Eric in Pennsylvania, if you would send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you an LCMSU travel mug. And thanks for everybody's questions and comments during the last 45 minutes of Issues Etc. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the daily prayer offices. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. We're going to be talking about the other morning prayer. It's actually called morning prayer, and how it differs from the one we began with. I'm sorry, the other evening prayer called evening prayer, how it differs from the one we began with in Vespers with Pastor Will Whedon tomorrow on Issues Etc. We'll also have Pastor Ted Giese in to review the movie 42. Folks, there's an event coming up on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis on Saturday, May the 4th at 10 o'clock in the morning. The author of our Issues Etc. book of the month, The American Muhammad, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, will be there not only answering questions and making himself available to meet you, but also doing a little Q&A, and they'll also be giving a discount on the Issues Etc. book of the month, The American Muhammad, on the campus of Concordia Seminary. Your chance to meet Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of The American Muhammad, Saturday, May the 4th at 10 o'clock right there at Lober Hall. They have free coffee and donuts, as I mentioned before, a discount off the price of that book, The American Muhammad. You can find out more about The American Muhammad at our website, issuesetc.org. It's a great resource comparing Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, with Muhammad, the founder of Islam. Issuesetc.org, or give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.